Good job, Greg. We're proud of you.
This is the order of battle!
Old Puff the Magic Dragon.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Get out of here. This is why I don't use my camera.
Hey, don't tread on him, pal.
Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea. I don't know the rest of that song.
A DMCA takedown is inevitability.
Thanks for joining the Order of Battle podcast for another episode. Joel, Jason, and sometimes A discuss collecting G.I. Joe, other 118 scale action figures, and in general, what sparks joy. It's a lot of things, but almost always toys. This is the Order of Battle podcast. You and I sat down with Greg and Jaren from Anything Joe's. Last week, they dropped an episode where they focused on interviewing us. And sure, that happened a little bit, but most of all, it was just a big four-way conversation. And then the second part of that was we tried to interview them, but for the most part, we just told a bunch of jokes and laughed. It was an incredible time from my perspective. Listening to this episode that we're putting out, one of the things that I love is the juxtaposition between the two of them. You and I are modern and vintage, where they are old head and new guy. Although I still feel weird calling Jaren a new guy because he's got a massive collection of video games and Star Wars and other things. He's just new to Joe.
That recording process was great because it started at 10 and ended at 3 in the morning. Well, I guess that conversation, it was not all recording that time, obviously, because we're collectively putting out about 2 hours. It has been awesome chatting with those guys. It was just a lot of fun, and I'm probably going to re-listen to theirs and then immediately re-listen to ours once they're both published.
Yeah, I probably will as well. And there's a couple times in this episode where I and Greg both mention the four of us doing a couple other things. So I look forward to that. They're publishing a podcast, but they also put that podcast on YouTube. So you can find them on YouTube at Anything Joe's. They've got their own Facebook page, which we've never done yet, mainly because you're not on Facebook and I don't like Facebook enough to do it. I know that we should, sure. But it's Anything Joe's, super long name, collaborative journey through the world of G.I. Joe. And then, of course, you know, they're on Twitter and Instagram at Anything Joe's Pod. These guys live about 2.5 hours from me. So about, what is that, about seven and a half hours from you?
It's 8 to 9 hours.
So I see them at Kentuckiana and Winterfest. And hopefully you'll get down for Winterfest or we'll meet up at a different show. But it'll be nice for all four of us to be able to sit down and shoot the breeze as well.
I mean, I'm really, really going to stay persistent on getting us to do the Spy Troops movie. Whether we sit and just have a blast watching that movie and, you know, tearing it apart because, whew, that movie is something.
I've not seen the Spy Troops one. I've seen the Valor versus Venom. That's the one where Hawk becomes the weird creature, right?
I couldn't tell you, man. I saw...
They're awful.
That's CGI, baby. That CGI is just spectacular.
I hope you guys enjoy us being on their channel and then them being on ours. Thank you, Greg and Jaren, for joining us. Let's jump into it. What is your goal with Classified, Jaren? Because, I mean, are you doing two of everything?
No. No, I say no, but I think I almost have two of everything.
So, yes.
My problem is if I find one in stores, I buy it almost every time. The only exceptions are like the original Scarlet, actually both Scarlets, and now I've got an extra Duke and Roadblock of both versions. But if I see pretty much anything else other than Major Blood, because I have four of him, I buy it. To me, I love 12-inch. 12-inch is my preferred scale.
12-inch? 6-inch?
6-inch, not 12-inch.
1/12 scale, yes.
Yeah. 12-inch is my preferred scale, so I stack two classified figures on top of each other. It's the only way.
I prefer all my Joes to be 1-1, same size as me.
Have a bunch of dudes in my basement in army gear.
They get hungry, but I just yell at them.
Yeah, I throw down some crayons, and they yell, ooh-ah, and we're good to go.
You've only been collecting G.I. Joe for a very short time, though.
Very short time. Like, January was my year. My first G.I. Joe was the deluxe Snake Eyes, the classified 00.
Kind of a psychotic time to get into vintage G.I. Joe.
It sure is. I've had multiple conversations with other collectors just in passing as I'm at conventions or when I went to the toy department. They're like, oh, wow, you're starting now, huh? I'm sorry. You know, like, yeah. You're paying a lot more now than you would have even 5-6 years ago.
Have you ever thought about just shopping in Greg's closet?
Every time I go over there, I sneak things away. He's got so much that he'll never notice.
What?
Greg has more than everyone, yes.
That's not true. And Jaren, now I have to move.
But you collect 64 through 2021, right?
That's correct.
I mean, he's got everything. You just look in that closet behind him. It's actually a whole nother house filled with G.I. Joe.
2,000 square foot, just G.I. Joe.
It's a weird like dimensional door. It goes into this beautiful collection room.
It's basically a TARDIS.
I didn't come on this show to be ridiculed. I can get that in my house at any time for free.
We're really just trying to figure out how you Doctor Who'd your closet into a G.I. Joe collection.
Well, that's an acquired taste.
Every time I do go to Greg's house, it's like, I didn't realize you had this. I didn't realize you had this. And like, it's just, I could be there for a day and just look at things and be like, oh, this is so cool. I've never seen one of these in person.
Sometimes I'm like, I didn't realize I had this.
I really appreciate and respect, and I mean this genuinely, the way that Greg collects. Like, so I saw the Tiki Cups in the mall a couple weeks ago, and I was like really hyped until I saw the price tag, and I was like, I can't drop $50 on these two mugs. Now, I don't know what the original retail was, but this is the store had them at like $25 in tax a piece. I liked them, and if, you know, they were half the price, I would have immediately bought them. But, and again, I genuinely mean this. I love the fact that you...
Army Build does.
You buy the oddities. You buy the licensed stuff. You buy the knick-knacky stuff because the stuff is awesome. I mean, there shouldn't be Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow Tiki Cups, but there is.
Yeah, I think when we got Valentine's, that was really like, I guess you can just put anything you want out there with the G.I. Joe logo on it now.
Now, did you get both Valentine's or just the one?
I didn't get either of them because I couldn't find them in the store.
There was a second Valentine's?
Yes, there was the ones that fold into like paper airplanes, I think, and then there was a second set.
Oh.
Am I to understand that the way that that works is you get a Valentine, you fill it out, you fold it into a plane and then launch it at the person?
That's exactly how you give Valentines, Greg. Have you never been a young boy?
No.
Trying to give a Valentine's to a young woman on the other side of class?
I'm just so lonely.
It's a sore subject.
What's a better way to show affection than throwing a plane at someone?
How did you meet your wife, Greg? I mean, Jesus.
She was the one that threw the plane.
What do you think the insides of those Valentines say?
Sorry for your concussion.
Invest in anti-aircraft machinery.
I hope this didn't land in your ear or eye.
I have no idea. I'm pretty sure I bought one set. I definitely grabbed a handful of the sticker sets. I could not find the second variant of Valentine.
Greg, that was a golden opportunity. We should have done an unboxing of the Valentines.
And then handed one to each other?
Yeah. Give ourselves validation and love.
Pretty sure we already covered that nobody hands these Valentines. They are to be attacked.
It is a military-based toy line, so it would only make sense that you show affection through assault.
Attack your lover with the new G.I. Joe Valentines. Love is a battlefield.
So I noticed something odd. Jaren, you're still in your 20s, so when you have this enormous collection behind you, it's very beautiful. When I was 25 is when I was ending my dark period of not buying toys, and I had more credit card and vehicle debt than I actually made per year. It's a very poor 25-year-old. And so my reentry into toys did not last very long because just fiscally, I I literally couldn't. Have you had a dark period? Did you ever have like a, I don't buy toys because I'm chasing tail or whatever, like the rest of us go through in high school where we're embarrassed to buy toys? Or have you always, did you go from playing to collecting seamlessly?
It did stop with the toys for a bit. It wasn't like, I'm too old for this. It was more just like, I had most of the things that I wanted because at that point it was just Star Wars. That was the only thing that I was collecting. So I had all of my Attack of the Clones, Revenge of the Sith. That was kind of my bread and butter. Saga collection. That was where I was really collecting. So I had those, and I had them just in totes. I didn't have them out or anything. And then it kind of transitioned into video games as my collection. So I went hardcore into vintage. I own, and I still do, every major gaming console. Now, I don't have a Magnavox Odyssey 2, but, you know, I've got a Atari 2600, a Sega Genesis, all the Nintendos.
A Jaguar.
Don't have a Jaguar yet. No. No, unfortunately, no Nomads either, so.
Okay.
It took a progression, and then I started working at the job that me and Greg both worked at together, and then that kind of reopened seeing it every day, seeing toys, seeing video games, seeing Funko Pops. Funko Pops got my collecting kicked back in. And then when I realized, these are just worse version of toys, why wouldn't I buy toys? So then I just jumped back into toys and have been going pretty hard since then.
So you did have a small dark period when it came to action figures, but not as a collector. None of us ever have a dark period as a collector. None of us ever stop collecting whole cloth. We just move our collections.
Yeah.
Greg, you've been collecting G.I. Joe specifically longer than I have, toy-wise, but what was your dark period look like?
I would say for any person that's been collecting for the long stream, it was that window where the vintage line ended right before the, like, I don't know what you call that, pre-modern era.
The middle years.
I call it the Big Lots phase, because when they first started showing back up, you could only find them at Big Lots. But that window right there where, essentially, well, I didn't think there would ever be any G.I. Joes ever again. The entire original run was done, and for all I knew, that was it.
Did you collect all the way through high school then?
I collected right up until right before Star Brigade. So I was buying DEF, and then I quit right as basically the line was ending. And then when they relaunched with the Big Lots era, I was immediately, I mean, I was right back in it from the get-go, and I never stopped. Basically from then on, even though there's a couple of windows where there's nothing coming out, they were coming out steadily enough that I was just getting ready to jump back in with the new stuff.
So were you in with the DTC stuff then?
Yeah, absolutely.
What was that like? Like, I've always been curious, was there like mass quantities? Was it hard to get the drop, or was it fairly easy? I've always wondered.
It was really easy to get DTC stuff as long as you were, I mean, kind of prepared for it. I mean, I don't think any of that stuff ever sold out. It might have even been like made to order. It was a weird era in terms of collectors weren't quite ready to get back on board at that point, I don't think. It's weird in hindsight, but at the time there was a lot of growing pains going on at this era. But the DTC stuff, when it came in, at least from my perspective, I was very excited about it. At that time, that stuff looked very good. It doesn't look very good when you look back on it now, but I remember being very, you know, yeah, real pumped about it. DTC is a weird era, but there's some great figures from that run.
And there's some amazing vehicles. I mean, the ROCC and the Rhino are like two of the best G.I. Joe vehicles that really don't have a proper home. The concepts throughout Spy Troops and DTC, like, if they would have had the technology to make those figures the way they were trying to, they would absolutely be some of the best G.I. Joes that were ever produced.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So from that perspective, are you pretty caught up with all the middle gear stuff, or are you still hunting out some stragglers?
You know, honestly, I haven't looked at the middle year stuff in a long time. It is that one part of the collection that, for space limitations, I was always kind of like, I'm not going to put these guys out. Like, probably most people that still have it, nobody's really like, here's the pinnacle of my collection. Check out these awkward era, poorly made, you know, they just didn't hold up as well.
They were there to love you, Greg, and you are embarrassed to love them. That's what I'm hearing.
We had a wild fling for a short period of time. She looked back on with regret. Now, I haven't looked at anything that's missing from that run. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think there's anything that's so good that I know for a fact I need it. It's more like, I bought a whole lot of it. I don't want to get rid of it, but I'm also, there's no eagerness to show it off either. There's so much other stuff that I need that is genuinely great stuff from the line, other than the fact that the price point may be the only affordable G.I. Joe stuff on the market right now. It would be the only thing that entices me.
Outside of the Rhino and the ROCC, yes, that's a very affordable line. Right.
The two things I didn't get when they came out.
What about Sigma 6?
When Sigma 6 came out, I bought the Snake Eyes and the Storm Shadow right away. I still have them. Everything else that I have in my collection that's Sigma 6 is stuff that I wasn't seeking out intentionally. Like it maybe came in a bundle or came in a lot of figures. And a big part of that is that the Sigma 6 cartoon was really hard to find when it was airing. I don't remember what time it came on, but it was not easy to seek out. And so because it was almost impossible for me to catch any episodes of it, my interest in it was pretty weak. Now, looking back on Sigma 6, I like it quite a bit, actually. And it gets a bad rap because it's so cornballish, but I think there are some concepts in Sigma 6 that are great. I'm a big fan of how Overkill is displayed in the Sigma 6 cartoon.
I like the figures, but I don't think I've ever seen the cartoon. The comic book was really cheesy.
Yeah, the comic book was written for an even younger audience than the cartoon was aimed at, it seems like. It was real, like, Star Comics era is what it makes me think of. Like, it was real, it was based on a real young introductor, and maybe that was the right thing to do, because the cartoon was already a little below the average audience. The curse of G.I. Joe is they're always like, we got to attract a new audience. We got to attract younger kids. And they keep trying it and then trying it and trying it. And inevitably, only old collectors are the only people that ever like look back on it or really get introduced to it, it seems like.
I have distinct memories of seeing Sigma 6 in the toy aisle and like loving the gear, like the little flip-up wrist comm thing. Like I loved everything about it but the size. And I remember just being sad because I had a lot, you know, I had core figures, I had G.I. Joe figures, I had a lot of like Toy Biz, you know, weird 5-inch scale things. But the Sigma 6 was just straight up its own size. Like they didn't play with anybody.
It's like 8 inches, I think.
Yeah, they're huge.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of money, you know, so it wasn't like I would have been able to have like an instant collection of Sigma 6. I mean, but to be fair, I was like a kid, but that was always the hard thing for me is like I would look at them and fawn over them because of all the crazy gear and like I was way into that stuff, but it would have been like the only figure I had that I could interact with. I flirted the lines with scale a little bit, but that was just too big even as a child.
I think the only thing brand wise that is as big and as expansive as G.I. Joe is Star Wars. Or I guess maybe you should say it the other way around because Star Wars is a whole galaxy or multiple galaxies. Like, what brings you to G.I. Joe after years of Star Wars collecting, Jaren? I mean, did you finish your vintage collection? I know you talked about Power of the Force and the prequels, but did you go back, finish the vintage collection, and then you were just like, I guess G.I. Joe?
No, I mean, and I still don't have anywhere near what I would like to on the 3¾-inch Star Wars. But that's because as the Black Series got announced, I fell in love with the 1/12 scale, and that's where I've kind of been, and that's where I've sat for a while. But what got me into Star Wars was talking and working with Greg, actually, and seeing his passion for it. And I was like, okay, this has to be better than I had ever thought it would be for someone to care as much as Greg cares about this franchise, about this series, about as we would, like, any chance I'd get, I might, you know, ask him something or, hey, what you know, what's this, or what are some good reads, comic books? I'm a semi-avid comic reader, so relying on him to give me some pointers and tips on that, so what to read. And then really wanting to do a podcast and wanting to learn, I like to seek out information, I like to learn, and that's why I appreciate, you know, having people like you guys around that know stuff, so that I can actually learn things, and maybe one day I'll know things. That was really the big determining factor for me.
So having someone who's mouthy at work and wanting to do a podcast made you decide to drain the entire bank account on current Joe prices.
I'm here for a good time, not a long time.
Up until I met you, I didn't know anybody younger than me interested in the brand. You know, when we were loosely getting introduced and right before, and when I found out that you're younger than me, I was like, this is interesting, because listening to your show, I know that you kind of buy a lot of vintage, and I bypass the vintage for multiple reasons that I've gone into before, so I don't need to hammer it down again, but like, it is truly amazing to me that you're seeking out pretty much the most expensive way to collect G.I. Joe, I guess, outside of like the crazy 12-inch rare stuff. You know, like I can safely assume you probably didn't have much interaction with O-ring Joes as a kid. It's just very interesting to me that you're taking this route.
My first non-classified Joes, Greg picked up for me at Winterfest. It was a bunch of it was some modern figures and then a original Vamp. That was kind of my first introduction into 3 3/4, and I don't want to slander anything. I just, playing with them coming from Star Wars, the articulation was really big for me. So it's like, okay, well, why do they do this? Why do they have the kind of forearm swivel but no wrist joint? There's those things that kind of threw me off. I was like, I mean, the sculpt is beautiful. Don't get me wrong. Like, they're great. Accessories are great. And then as I saw more vintage, more O-ring figures, I was like, oh, these are charming. Like, these are absolutely wonderful because they still, to me, feel more poseable. And they just have this charm and this aesthetic to it that is classic and timeless. Whereas eventually modern figures are going to look not nearly as good because the technology is just going to keep improving. Whereas with O-ring, to me, they are just, they're timeless, they're classic. You know when you pick it up, hey, this is a G.I. Joe. This is something that is, people will talk about. This is something that people will remember and that it's impacted people because of this brand and because of these toys that are awesome.
I mean, I couldn't agree more, but yeah, I'm an O-ring guy.
Even as a modern guy, if you take a 25th or say, quote-unquote, retro Duke, and you pair it up with a figure from the next two waves forward of G.I. Joe, if you take a Pursuit of Cobra figure and stand it next to a 25th, sometimes they don't even look like they're the same toy line. I absolutely get what you're saying, and I absolutely agree with you. You know, like, there is nothing more iconic in terms of our era of G.I. Joe as an O-ring figure. But that freaking price tag.
Yeah, it's definitely not as cheap. I noticed that pretty. I got a few of the cheap figures, and then now I'm trying to complete a 83 swivel arm original 13. And I got a couple of them, and I was like, oh, these aren't crazy bad. And then now I'm like, oh, these are getting a lot worse. You know, as I see, Stalker's one that I don't have, and I'm like, oh, his price is pretty up there. Or especially Scarlet, I'm like, oh, I really don't want to pay that right now. So normally those are things that I wait until I get to a convention. Like at Joe Fest, I bought Cobra Commander, Swivel Arm Cobra Commander. And like, that's enough for me. Like, that, having that one figure, he's up over here, and like, I absolutely adore that figure. So to me, it's also a little bit of the chase, having that where it's not something that you're going to find every day. It's something that you're looking for, something that's going to be in good condition, and you're going to buy it. And that gives me a high, you know, like finding that thing that I've been wanting. It's a great challenge to undertake.
Sorry, I'm just going to take over your show. Do you guys think that there's a catalyst that created the high demand for G.I. Joe prices? Because I don't think I've ever seen the value of vintage jump so quickly and maintain for so long.
There's a handful of things, sure. I mean, if you think like at our age, we're finally in the age of disposable income. A lot of our age that started sooner than us have kids that are in college, whereas you and I have young children. You know, the Toys That Made Us and Plastic Crack and then COVID, there's a lot to it, but it's not just G.I. Joe. I mean, everything's on the rise. You have Joel and Jaren, where you have the Power Rangers generation coming into their own. And if you're buying Power Rangers, you probably saw some Joes. You're probably buying some Turtles. Yeah, I mean, everything is on the rise at this point. I think collectibles in general are just very of its time with the MCU, all of the Marvel Legends figures and things like that. I just think it's a perfect storm of kids don't play with toys, but every goddamn adult does.
I think the Toys That Made Us was definitely like the strike of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think where they threw that match is that media is in like an 80s craze. You know, like Stranger Things again, is the weird enigma of my life where I'm 32 years old and my, like, most of the things I love in life are based in the 80s. Figure it out. I was born in 89 because I can't figure it out. Like, I avoided Stranger Things for almost a year because I also have that stupidity problem where, like, if the mainstream media is like, oh, this shit is hot, I'm like, yeah, I'm good. So when I finally watched Stranger Things, damn, like, I wasted a year. This show is awesome. But on the upside of that, my wait for season two was significantly shorter. But I think there's just, like, such an 80s nostalgic boom right now. And then tied in with everything else that Jason just said, it is truly the perfect storm. And the second that you see something that you grew up with, or even if you didn't grow up with it, for like Jaren and I to a degree, you know, if the whole world is on fire about something, like it's gonna catch on. I mean, the classified stuff, we're now fighting with 6-inch collectors to get this product. We're competing with guys that didn't care one way or another about Joe until it was a 6-inch figure they could pair in with the rest of their collection. I have been hunting toys in my city for a long time, and 3 times I can remember pre-classified era seeing another human being looking at G.I. Joe's in the store. There was clearly people I was missing because there was product being bought, but the amount of times I went to stores and did, like, in Toys R Us, I'd see guys in the Marvel aisle, Transform, everything but G.I. Joe. But now, when I go into Target or Walmart and I'm snooping around, there's almost always 2 or 3 people doing the same thing I'm doing. You're sifting through the aisles, you know, whether you look for your main first. So I always hit the G.I. Joe pegs that are generally pretty barren. And then I look at, like, whatever the little Jazzwares corner is to see what other weird 4-inch figure or vehicle I could buy. And then Star Wars. I feel like there's people probably, like, you know, they're going to grab some classified stuff and then they're going to probably start working backwards.
You know, to piggyback on a point you just made with the, actually, it was just kind of a side part. That 4-inch Halo line, that is something that makes me think that an actual 4-inch Joe line could really do something. I mean, they're following that same kind of formula of, hey, here's these small vehicles with a figure, here's these figures, here's this slightly bigger vehicle with a figure. And people are buying it. I mean, that stuff is moving. I don't see that. There's always product, but you can tell that it's moving. It's not just sitting there.
I wonder how many are children, though.
The Fortnite figures are always blazing off the shelf. Greg hit it earlier. Jason hit it earlier. I hit it earlier. You hit it earlier. There's just for some reason, when it comes to relaunching G.I. Joe, there's always just some sort of weird hurdle. Classified has clearly blown the doors off the building.
But even with Classified, that hurdle is generally adult collectors. We, the royal we, not me, screamed about version 1 and version 2 Roadblock. So we get Hasbro's bullied into a version 1 authentic third version of Roadblock, and then people scream that we have too many Roadblocks. It's exhausting.
Yeah, I mean, I just to close that door, I wish more than anything that the retro line was being had as much product as either Fortnite or Halo. I mean, damn.
Retro line and classified, I continue to beat that drum, is that if you have 2 different lines coming out congruently, make one that's like super authentic to the original, because that's clearly what people are clamoring for, even though they have it already, and then use the other to be wildly experimental. To me, it would just be more fun. Regardless, it doesn't bring kids back to the table, and I don't, as a father of a 10-year-old who plays with vintage action figures and in every year of his being in pre-K through 4th grade has 0 friends that play with action figures, I don't know what that answer is. With G.I. Joe specifically, and I'm curious because I know, Joel, you haven't read all 155 comics. You're kind of reading along. I know you've read past issue 21, but you haven't read that far past. Jaren, have you read any of these past where you and Greg are doing the voice actor produced episodes issue by issue?
So the first thing I have to say is that that's all a lie. Greg is just that talented. He does all of those voices.
I do perfect Russian accent.
I'm leaving that in. That is not getting edited out. You heard it here first. Greg is a Russian fifth column to America.
That's how we out him. That's how we got him. I am content with reading as we're going.
Are you actually reading them, or is he reading them to you in all of his different voices?
Well, it's like a personal, you know, it's like a play for myself.
It's bedtime. Dad, read to me.
I just can't get him to go to sleep any other way.
I say, what a blessing of a friend Greg is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, truly.
Yeah, we had to find a way to turn my recording off, because normally as we finish the episode, I'm gone. But no, I enjoy it because it gives me something to look forward to. Like I had said earlier, the reason I got into this is because I like knowledge and I like learning things. And this franchise is, it's filled with stories, countless stories. And that's fascinating to me. And I think we had touched on it in the other episode that, like, I like that we have these to draw from, but we're not also beholden to it. That, you know, if I see this character and, yeah, in the cartoon, this is how he is. In the comic, this is how he is. I love the fact that there's variations, and I can kind of weave my own story into there.
Are you caught up with Sunbow, or are you watching those with some sort of unreleased Anything Joe's cartoon episode?
Hey, don't out the Patreon.
That's right. Don't out the top secret Patreon. Yeah, don't look for it. You can't find it. But if you do find it, it's for the low, low price of $12.50
a week.
An episode.
Per episode. Gotta pay those voice actors.
I have barely watched any of the cartoon beyond what I had watched before we started the podcast. The only time that I really sat down and watched the cartoon is when I was in the hospital when my son was being born. I sat down for some reason. I was like, let's watch G.I. Joe and just watch like 10 episodes.
Was that the Badger episode?
Yeah, that's why it stuck with me.
Kid wouldn't stop crying. Couldn't tell where Serpentor's DNA was coming from. Very frustrating.
So you truly are just a blank slate who's enjoying this for the toy itself.
Yes, 100%.
For the Badger itself.
For the Badgers themselves, yeah. Eventually we'll have about 50 of them.
We tried to get you to buy two, and because you wouldn't buy just two extra at Kentuckiana, we now have in our household a Badger.
I'm so proud of A. I'm glad that I didn't let him talk me into it, because now he's got the best vehicle in the whole line.
Sure. I've got a buddy in Ohio that would agree with you and has even made Badger t-shirts.
Oh, I need one.
I'll have to introduce the two of you and see if he still has that PSD file so that he can make some more shirts. But I even called A out on it. Was like, did you get a Badger because Jaren didn't get one? Or did you only get a Badger because Jaren loves them so much? Of course, he denies it. No. It had nothing to do with Jaren. Uh-huh.
He bullied himself into buying one.
You know, he's been into G.I. Joe since he's 3.5 years old, and he's never once uttered the word Badger until meeting you holding two Badgers, and suddenly he has to have one. But he didn't do it because of you. Sure, no. Buddy.
Yeah. Now he just needs a Crimson Cruiser and he'll be...
Oh, he's already mentioned it. You and Greg and Joel, like, are the three bad influences on him. Greg is trying to talk him into modern. You've got him into Badgers.
Well, where do I come in?
Everywhere else. Everything else that is not good.
Let's just go back and listen to 45 plus episodes. We'll figure it out.
If I could edit out all the times that I've had to talk about the Badger, we could have covered all 155 issues of the comic in the space that we've reclaimed.
So if you had to pick your least favorite concept of a figure from the original line, regardless of how many times it's been brought forward or whatever, what is like the one G.I. Joe character that like you just truly don't like?
This is a tough question.
I'm talking characters, not vehicles.
Lieutenant Badger. He transforms into a vehicle. It's an ill-fated crossover.
Be careful, Greg. You might find me my new favorite character.
It's funny because I approach almost everything with a real sense of optimism. I try to like everything, and I try to incorporate everything kind of into one collective universe where that's feasible. So a lot of people are going to say something like Ice Cream Soldier, who's like the joke of the vintage line, essentially.
Love that guy.
I have no issues with Ice Cream Soldier. And the more obscure characters in the line are some of my favorites. I guess if I had to pick somebody, what's the name of the guy that drives the Rolling Thunder? Armadillo?
Yes.
I guess that comes to mind only because that figure is lacking. is like a real basic design. His face mold is real janky. Doesn't have like any personality at all. Even to, there's like, there doesn't seem like there's any stepping stone to create an interesting armadillo.
That is absolutely one of the dullest characters in the line. But what's your opinion of Armortech?
Armortech?
Yes.
Oh, with the like Play-Doh stuff?
No. That was Mega Monsters and Mega Marines. Armortech was the 93 Star Brigade Big Body Boys.
Okay. Okay, right. So Star Brigade is literally like where I drew the line, right? Because, and it's not hard to see why, because they look insane.
Oh, so now here's where the optimism is lost. Star Brigade, huh?
Well.
Can't go to space with this guy.
What? It begs the question why they felt the need to change the design of the figure so much. You could have easily made, and they did make a couple of like countdown that, you know, it was just like a regular figure. Didn't have to look like a walking suit of armor. Yeah, this Armortech is probably one of the weakest spots in the line. But I mean, maybe part of the reason it didn't make it any further.
Armortech is truly the only part of G.I. Joe that I can say that I cannot find a foothold into. I think the bat looks good from far away, but not to play with.
I like Robo Joe.
Awful.
Concept doesn't make sense. It's reduced posability, which is a huge no-no for this line.
Yes.
And then they were simultaneously putting out figures that were the way they all should have looked. The, like I said, that payload and that countdown. Just take a barbecue, repaint them all. The EcoForce barbecue, of course, looks just like a space dude. It would have been fine.
I like that even like you struggled and struggled to find a character to dislike, and then you even still didn't even crap on him that bad. And then we bring it back to a real sore spot from what I can gather in the original run. And then even so, like, you're like, yeah, these aren't very good. And then immediately you're like, you know, if you just shifted a few things around, like, I love it. I love it.
At the end of the line, they have like a Paw Patrol syndrome. They want a little piece of everything. They're like, what are kids into? Space? Got it. That's blowing over. What about dinosaurs? All right, throw that in there. Like, they were just throwing everything they had against the wall. And so that's the end of the line is just, it becomes that like the cartoon where it's just almost like there are no limitations. Anything is possible.
And that's why we've been talking so much about Star Brigade lately. I've got a Cobra Commander coming.
Which one?
The one with the little, the rolly.
The suction
cup. The
cups.
Backpack. Yes. The suction cup. Yep. Got him coming. He's supposed to have been here about 2 weeks ago, so hopefully he's still coming.
I like that character if it wasn't Cobra Commander, but because you can take the helmet off and you can see like a full half of his face, it's not Cobra Commander to me. I've never liked anything where you could see him.
Yeah, that makes sense.
What about the Cobra Commander that's in the with the red faceplate and the gold helmet? And if you had a certain version of it, you could take that red faceplate off, and it was basically like his entire exposed face.
All of the versions, you can take that faceplate off, and he has a face under there. You're just not supposed to. It's glued on. There were some where the face under there was painted heavily, which is how you have the, where you can see the face through the plastic. I have one where the faceplate came off, and it is an awful sculpt. To the sculptor's credit, there was supposed to be a plastic shield there.
Pretty hard to resist as a kid when you saw that and you're like, there's a face under there. I gotta see what that boy looks like. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I broke mine immediately. But I love this Cobra Commander. It doesn't get proper recognition. It was just too different.
That was part of my dark years. I bought G.I. Joe up until I was about 15. And I know people like to say that they've been collecting since 82. I wasn't collecting shit in 82. Two through 89, I was playing. There was no collection here. Like, I didn't get rid of my stuff. I played with my stuff. I was collecting comics. I was collecting CDs and cassette tapes, but toys, that was all play.
Before we get too far away, how do you feel about the Renegades Cobra Commander where you can see part of his face?
I love that figure.
I do too.
Part of that is tethered to how much I enjoy Renegades. I give them credit for having the audacity to redesign from the ground up and then thinking, what makes Cobra Commander great, but that will make him unique to this show? Because that's basically everything about Renegades is a completely new approach. I think that figure is very cool. I think it's a cool idea. And when you look at that head mold, you could almost believe that he's like mid hologram transformation, you know, because it's like a little bit of this and a little bit of the faceplate part. I'm also a big fan of the helmet, and it's just a sleek, smooth metal. There's no like thing on top. It's just one big dome, like they kind of did in IDW there for a while.
I also like that half mask with Renegades because, as you just said, like Renegades is its own thing. With A-Raw, I don't like where you can see his face because that's not Cobra Commander from Larry Hama's Marvel run, 82 to 94. But Renegades, it's its own beast. Renegades is what I'm constantly harping on. It's the redesign stuff. And a redesign, I'm always going to give a different look and touch to. Are you familiar at all with Renegade, Jaron?
No, I mean, I've heard of it from before the podcast, but no, I haven't really experienced it yet.
It's amazing. It is a...
So Greg's holding out on some of the good stuff. He's going to make me go through Valor versus Venom and...
Built to Rule, yes, all of that.
Yes, Spy first. Troops. He's going to make me suffer through all of that.
I would, in a heartbeat, bring the four of us together to watch Spy Troops. I think it would be an absolute blast.
I think that would be a train wreck, and I'm in.
I'm 100% down.
I mean, hey, I'm in.
I have a digital version of it, so you don't have to go through all of your DVD copies to find one that will play from start to finish.
I hit up flea markets all the time, and I go into like junk stores and antique stores and all that. I buy every single copy of the Spy Troops DVD that I can find because they're always a dollar. And I'm just hoping that I'll have one that plays.
You guys got any copies of Catcher in the Rye? No. I collect them, so I'll just take these Spy Troops instead.
Oh, Spy... What is this? I'll try it for a dollar. Yeah. Like, yeah, Joel, we know you on a first-name basis. This is the 10th copy you bought.
Well, Jaron, one of the things with G.I. Joe, because as we've talked about how many times it's been redone, the Sunbow series is really good. The Deke series is awful. And then G.I. Joe Extreme is its own weird beast. The figures are garbage, but the cartoon is really good. The comic book's decent. Then you have Spy Troops, Valor versus Venom, the whole...
Hey, Sergeant Savage. Don't forget our boy.
Oh, yeah, Sergeant Savage, which there are some ties back to both Sergeant Savage and to Sunbow, A-Raw, G.I. Joe in G.I. Joe Extreme. There's also ties to that in Cops and Crooks. I don't know if you've gotten into that at all. I think it's fun that you're experiencing it for the first time, but even though you're coming at it from new set of eyes and only being collecting in a year, there's plenty of people that are my age that grew up with G.I. Joe that are collecting for less time than you are. People are just finding their way back. So you're not alone in that. I'm just kind of curious, like, Star Wars is expensive as hell, and then G.I. Joe is expensive as hell, and those two lines together, there's no line that can touch either of those in size. So you've literally chosen the two largest line. At this point, you can grab, what, Power Rangers to go for, and Gundam. Like, and then you can have all the big lines.
Just go back and try to get a complete run of Transformers. That's the next.
Well, I mean, G.I. Joe's bigger than Transformers. Transformers is at least the same 50 characters that they've just redone 40 times. It's a lot, man. If you add in Power Rangers and Gundam, you're screwed.
Luckily, as of right now, I don't have any desire for those. But who knows? Catch a wild air.
Hey, I'll send you some pictures of some cool Gundam builds.
See, my blessing for Gundam is that I do not have the skill, the ability, or the time to build them.
Oh, those builds are very easy. But I'll send you some stuff. It's fine.
Can you also send me some cool-looking pictures of Power Ranger toys? Because I've never seen what that looks like before.
I was the targeted age group for Power Rangers, and that just... I could not have given a single crap as a kid. Like, I thought it was terrible. I knew a kid that was obsessed with the Power Rangers, and he was obsessed with the other, like, knockoff Ranger. I don't know what they were called, but they was, like, essentially the same, just slightly different outfits. But he always tried to push it on me, and I was like...
Kamen Riders?
No, not... Kamen Riders, cool.
Beetleborgs?
It wasn't Beetleborgs. It was, like, straight up, like, a 100% knockoff of Power Rangers. Like, not like stuff from Japan that found its way to the States. Like, this was like straight up like, oh, Power Rangers, huh? I guess these are the Super Rangers or something. It was like
VR Troopers?
We could guess all night. I'll never remember, but...
I will guess all night.
I think for me, one of the big reasons why I didn't get into those other lines, and even why I missed some of the ones that I probably should have, was growing up, we didn't watch a lot of the shows. I wasn't allowed to watch a lot of the shows. You know, it was religious reasons that would prevent it every time. You know, you can't watch this, it's too bad. Whereas my dad and older brothers are in the military, so I remember watching back-to-back Transformers and then G.I. Joe a little bit as a kid. And then the guy who taught the kids at our church, he was the kind of guy who he would find a way to connect anything to it. You know, he'd watch Star Wars and make, oh, here's this parallel between it and church, you know. So he would pull that in. And so that got me into Star Wars, got me kind of around my parents' blockade that they had set.
No one thinks robots are satanic.
Yeah. they can't. They don't have a soul.
I mean, they have the matrix of leadership. It's kind of a soul.
Yeah. They just share it.
Yeah, then everybody remembers that episode of Power Rangers where they fought Satan. I mean, it's pretty clear, pretty cut and dry.
Pretty easy to see what side they're on.
When the Green Ranger pulled out the dagger/flute/remote for the giant robot, he was actually just playing a hymn.
Yeah, yeah, and then the devil was like, for this golden fiddle, right?
What is your goal with Star Wars now that you've been deep diving into G.I. Joe?
I've actually kind of transferred all of my collecting. My problem is I get very completionist oriented. So with Black Series, at one point it was like I have to have everything. So, and I was getting very close. It was the same thing when I was doing Pops. Up until 2017, I probably owned every Star Wars Pop almost, and then sold them at the worst possible time because now some of them are actually worth money. Now I'm collecting Clone Wars era and Mandalorian era. I have every version of the original trilogy that I would care about. You know, I've got enough Lukes to last a lifetime. Han, Leia, you know, I've got those. I don't need a 12th version of those characters.
But how many Ahsoka troopers do you need?
At least 4. I would prefer 8. Those are some pretty cool designs. But that's where I'm focusing. I also find myself with those, I'm kind of moving away from characters with face prints and building more on just troops. So stormtroopers, clone troopers, things like that. And that's made it easier to take a back seat and has definitely helped. As I was when I first started collecting G.I. Joe, I was still completionist with Black Series, and then adding in Classified and trying to buy Vintage Joes, it was just impossible. Plus, I do DC Multiverse, which is just, I only buy those if I see it in store. Because I have this weird thing, I don't know about you guys, but if I go into a store to buy a toy, I'm going to leave with a toy. That's probably my biggest problem. If I go into Walmart, I'm like, I'm going to buy a toy. And I go to the toy aisle, and there's no G.I. Joe. I'm like, okay, well, let's go see Star Wars. There's no Star Wars. Okay, let's go see DC Multiverse. There's no DC Multiverse. Then I'm really hurting, because those are my things. So then I'll go to Jazzwares and see what they have. I've bought a couple Halo figures. I've bought a couple wrestling figures. Because I do that thing where I'm like, oh, that head sculpt would be great for this. And, you know, I can just switch that. Because I can't paint or anything, but I can do head swaps really easy. You know, or if they have cool accessories, I can steal those. It's very rare for me to go into a store looking for a toy and not find anything. And that's normally if I can't find anything that's close to working with something.
When I was trying to sort of force the Lego conversation with A, I was like that. If I couldn't find G.I. Joe and I couldn't find a Transformer, I would go home with a Lego. Lego is a bust. It never really took hold. Transformers, he no longer cares almost at all. Star Wars, he's finally coming into that, but I'm happy when I can leave without buying anything. Joel is more on your spectrum.
Well, so I used to be, I still, I'm still like that a lot. I do leave empty-handed far more than I leave with something, but like 5 years ago, it was exactly the same. I would, like, Nicole would be so pissed because I would be like, I'd go through every aisle, I'd go over to the NECA section, I'd go here, I'd go there, and she's like, you don't have to spend the money, just buy something online, can we please leave? And I'm like, well, hold on, just, And I would do the exact same thing. Well, I could probably use this hat, or I could turn this into that, or this into that. And then finally, it was just to the point when G.I. Joe went away, you know, after the 50th tapered out into basically nothing. The Marvel Universe 4-inch scale vanished. Star Wars 4-inch scale vanished. That was kind of a nice reset for me, where I would go in and there was legitimately nothing for me to buy because I didn't touch anything 6-inch. But before that, when there was a little playroom with 4-inch, I would spend 45 minutes to an hour like making myself buy something.
My big outlet right now has been the Mattel or whoever does it, the Jurassic Park stuff. And it's because I get the satisfaction of buying it. I'll open it, I'll look at it, and then I'll give it to one of my kids, and they're thrilled. And I'm like, oh, this works. This is the best for everyone.
I have some real, like, I'll go through like a 3-week tear where I will just buy every dinosaur I can find in the Jurassic Park line. I have like 2 or 3 bins. Anytime that they do a giant dinosaur, I buy it because history will show you any giant creature that can fit in with a 4-inch figure. Like, for instance, that original Kong Skull Island 18-inch gorilla figure with just articulated arms and a head. Those went down to clearance for $5, and check on eBay. They're about $100 right now.
That's crazy. I need to get that big Brachiosaurus that they have. That's the one that's on my list.
It's awesome.
That's the only one that I'm like, I want that.
It's an awesome figure.
Joel's walking in with like 20, 30 dinosaurs. His low-lying ambush are like, fuck.
When I got space, I'm going to make my own dino hunters. I'm going to add some guys to the team. I've already bought vehicles specifically for it.
I know you don't do vintage, Joel, but since you're getting all these other dinosaurs, you need a Hugosaur. But with all these big dinosaurs you're buying, he's no longer hugging out of love. That's just more of him like, that's anxiety dinosaur now. He's just kind of holding his own chest and looking at how big all the other dinos are.
Oh, man.
I was going to say the irony of that is that he absolutely couldn't hug anything. I mean, he's literally, he can't hug himself. He's like, I just wanted it to look like I was dancing with someone at the prom. I can't even get my arms around my shoulders.
That is probably the number one thing on my G.I. Joe wish list.
The Dino Hunters?
Is the Dino Hunter with the dinosaur.
Hell yeah.
Because I like dinosaurs so much, I'm like, this is perfect. It was the thing that they threw at the wall that didn't stick, but I'm like, man, I wish it would have stuck.
That set has quadrupled in the last 2 years. So at this point, it's probably cheaper to find it all separately. Whereas at one point, you could just buy it in box. It's just insane.
Yeah.
The vehicle itself, I would get from somebody you know and trust or at a show. It's the same build as the Desert Fox 6-wheel drive, and the front axles break easily. That said, I don't know if you've messed with a Desert Fox. Even with a broken axle, it still plays just fine, but the front wheels no longer move in tandem. They move separately.
So what you're telling me is I need to shout out to Destro's Toy Den and just be like, hey, find, when you find one, let me know.
If he can come across one. I think he has a sealed one, maybe.
I can't do that. I can't open a sealed one. Because I would in a heartbeat.
Greg, do you remember probably right before or right in the beginning of 50th anniversary when Hasbro still had the license for Jurassic Park? They were putting out dinos with G.I. Joe figures. They weren't branded as G.I. Joe figures, but they were straight up G.I. Joe figure.
Yeah, because I bought one of them off of eBay. Like, it was another, like, out of China. It was the guy that has the tattoo on his face.
Okay, so there was that figure that never made it to retail, but there was two sets that made it to retail. One had the Burnout 7-pack head on, like, a Resolute Cobra Trooper body, and the other was essentially, like, Monkey Wrench.
Mm-hmm.
They had plans that if you scour the internet, you can find them. There was plans with, like, Awe Strikers with different attachments. That came with a driver and dinosaurs. There was like essentially kind of this weird, because they were G.I. Joe figures and accessories tied in with dinosaurs. And there is unreleased prototypes out there of these, like it's like an Awe Striker with like a crane arm on the side to grab a dinosaur. Like it's amazing. And it just, the line didn't take off. And those figures went basically directly to Marshalls. And TJ Maxx and stuff. And I wish that those vehicles would have happened because it's great.
I basically have 2 questions left for you guys. I don't know if Joel has more, but one of them is, I'm stealing Jaren's question. If you guys were kidnapped, I guess by a cartel, or maybe by Cobra, since this is a G.I. Joe thing, I don't know, and taken to Rio Lindo, who would your four-person team be for that rescue op, either to save yourself or to save, you know, the president's daughter or whatever the case is? You're putting a team together to go to Rio Lindo and make an extraction from either a cartel or the corrupt government, the banana cartel or Cobra. I've just really butchered your question because I just found the cartel thing to be.
Jaren, do you want to answer this, since you obviously have been thinking about it longer than...
Yeah, I definitely put a whole lot of thought into that.
And here's our 2-hour dissertation.
Yes. Yeah. So let me go into depth about how, who I would choose. No, I'm choosing mine for no scientific reasoning, just because I think it would be fun. I'm going to choose Chuckles because I like Chuckles a whole lot. I'm going to choose Tripwire because he is my boy. Okay. I'm going to choose Shipwreck because he doesn't seem like he should work, but he's going to. He's going to do it. And then lastly, I'm going to choose Tunnel Rat.
Which version of Tripwire?
The original.
Okay, so not Listen and Fun?
Not bright red, shoot me first, Tripwire.
And Greg, have you come up with an answer for this pop psych question that I butchered the hell out of?
Yeah, no problem. I only need a 3-person team, as that was a popular option the last time we talked about it. I'll just take Snake Eyes, Don Marino, Throwdown, best sales of all time, baby. It's all Snake Eyes so this
Snake
year.
Snake Eyes, and Snake Eyes.
But if those three Snake Eyes can't break me out, then just I might as well just join the cartel.
I want to hate your answer, but I have to say respect.
The other thing I had was, we're both doing podcasts, and our podcasts, we've been doing this for almost 2 years. You guys just hit your year mark. We are much more conversational, and you guys are much more almost show-based with conversation thrown in. Like, what is the plan for Anything Joe's? What keeps you guys doing this? Where are you guys going with it?
You know, the purpose of the show initially was, how do you set a plan to educate somebody about G.I. Joe that doesn't know anything about G.I. Joe? The first year has kind of been laying that, what I mean, really just the groundwork to get started. How did the company get formed? Where did the toys originate? What did the original team look like? That will enable us to kind of branch out in the coming years from that groundwork. Because you can't just go, hey, let's talk about Renegades, or hey, let's talk about Sigma 6, because for someone that is completely uninitiated, it's too convoluted. So I kind of look to Jaren as a guidepost in terms of how I'm doing from an educational point of view. And also from Jaren's perspective, I get an idea on what a new person that's new to the G.I. Joe universe is most interested in. So when we branch out to stuff that's maybe more modern, I know kind of what to lean into. My hope is that at some point we'll have touched on every part of the G.I. Joe universe to some degree, so there's a little bit of understanding of all of it. But when you have so much stuff to look at, you kind of have to take it in small doses. So we try not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but we're coming up on the end of the first year of the comic book, which is basically about the only time you'll see the original 13 in action together, and then after that, the roster starts to expand. And also the cartoon is coming in, and I want him to get some exposure to that as well.
You've already gone in the first year from Stalker, Scarlet, Short Fuse to Badger.
Yeah, we kind of burned the candle on both ends in that sense, because we also wanted to be up to date, or as up to date as possible, which is why we alternate the flow of our episodes where we talk about what's happening. And that gives us a chance to also explore what Jaren is finding. If Jaren's picking up stuff from Star Brigade, I can't be like, hey, buddy, just 140 more issues and then you'll really understand where Star Brigade gets in. So, on alternating episodes, we can kind of talk about anything, just what we're picking up, how that ties into the universe in general, what that makes us the most excited to get next time.
when Joel and I started, not when we first met, but when we started Order of Battle, we were a little bit focused on the difference between him being pure modern and us being pure vintage. And very quickly, that and a little bit of our show, all of our show aspects, not a little bit, all of our show aspects went out the window and we've become kind of where we're at now. And I've always thought, you know, it might be nice to get back to a little more showy. But also, as you guys have seen in the last couple of hours of us going through this, Joel sits at an angle where it's very dramatic and he looks like a supervillain. With the dark body and the below lit face, you know, it's very intimidating. And so we just keep it very light and fun.
Oh no! I just bought 60 zombie vipers.
I love that juxtaposition, that diametrically opposed view of modern versus vintage that Joel and I have. And we very quickly did not want to focus on age differences or how young he is as a G.I. Joe collector. And you guys don't seem to focus on that at all as well, which is awesome. But I love that diametrically opposed, like, you're a lifelong G.I. Joe guy and you have been into G.I. Joe for 12 months now. That was something that caught my attention immediately. And I very much enjoy about your guys' show. So hearing you guys, like, that was the intention and that is going to continue to drive why you guys are doing the comics issue by issue when you start getting to the cartoons and everything else. I look forward to that. That's going to be fun.
You know, one thing I didn't expect from the show is how much I enjoy Jaren's reactions to things and also watching what he is attracted to, although he sometimes has horrible taste. To a certain extent, it reignites my passion for collecting because I'm seeing it through the eyes of a first-time collector, and that is not common anymore. I mean, almost everybody is an old dog to a certain degree, so it's gone a long way to keep my hobby, you know, reignited as well.
You are a unique viewpoint in the G.I. Joe brand, and that which is very cool to see and get to know you and talk to you about that, Jaren. That's where Joel and I have fed off each other to go into other things like Mezco or, you know, Acid Rain, Annex,
Toy Alliance,
2984, whatever it's called. You know, as we're continually poking each other into these different, not necessarily G.I. Joe, but things that are outside of our original scope. I don't know. I'm enjoying the show, and I'm really enjoying the fact that we've become good friends over the summer. Over this summer.
It's been an incredible experience to get to meet. And really, as someone coming in from the outside completely, I have not yet really had a negative experience with another Joe collector. Like at conventions, everyone has been super polite. I think that should be a general life rule. If you want positive experiences, just don't go there. But you know, I mean, even running into, like I said, running into people when I'm out at the toy department or at the local stores here, everyone is super understanding and patient. So I'm like, ah, dude, I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm just going to wait until I see something and then I'll find it. And then I'll be like, hey, Greg, what's this? You know? So it's really cool. And then getting to know you guys and seeing your different backgrounds and where those come from. And like I said, seeing how it has impacted you guys and what you guys are doing with it. It's incredible to see people that are like-minded and wanting to kind of create something for the sake of creating something and getting out there.
One of the things I would love to see us do, like the four of us, is I would love to see just an hour, whether it's on anything or on order, but just an hour or two of Greg and Joel just deep diving into body sculpts and swapping, and you and I can talk Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I can't keep up with their conversation.
Yeah, no, I'd be here for it, but that's it.
Like, so my first 5 or 6 years being, like, a heavy G.I. Joe collector, like, I talked to, like, one or two dudes. Like, I didn't really have, like, a significant, like, Joe bro, you know, or, like, whatever you want to call it. Like, I was kind of just, like, I don't do Facebook. I, like, signed up for his tank but never participated. I just always kind of hung in the background, and I would watch everything, and I would listen to every Joe show that existed, and I just never interacted. And then finally, like, when I finally was like, all right, well, like, I got to do something because I have all this stuff, and I'm, like, dying to talk about it. And then you get to just kind of walk in and have this, like, immediately this, like, guy you can throw any G.I. Joe question you have at because he's been there forever, and that's awesome.
It definitely makes it a lot easier where I'm like, hey, Greg, what is this character? Or who is, where did this come from? Why is this this way? And he's just like, hey, here we go about that. Let's go ahead and talk about that.
I'm like, Jared, I can teach you anything you want to know about the G.I. Joe universe. You can hit me with any question you want. Okay. The cartel has kidnapped you.
Also, have you heard of the badger?
Why has no one told me about the badger yet? It's the most underrated vehicle.
I already have a badger. His name is Jaren.
Let's end it here. Thanks again for spending time with us discussing toys and other geeky things. Our logo was made by Rhino. The music we use was created by Self Help. You can find Joel on Instagram at Order of Battle Pod. Jason is on Twitter at Order of Battle PD. Our email is orderofbattlepod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, and thank you for your likes, comments, outreaches, and just being here with us. I'm kind of tapped. So at this point, I could hit stop right there on just the, like, the badger conversation and be good. But if you guys have more to go, like, we can keep going. But it looks like we're all kind of falling asleep at this point.
Yeah, I'd say let's pull the plug.
Yeah.
Ramp her up.
All right, stop.
This has been the Order of Battle.